Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you'll be blessed by your time with us today.
Awesome. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
How are you all doing? Can I say you all this morning? I've actually been working with horses this morning and not having to deal with jury duty stuff. So I can talk like a cowboy. I've never been so excited to see a horse in my life. I wanted to kiss him and hug him and love him and all that. So good morning. Welcome. I'm excited. And so thankful for God and his goodness and his grace this morning. Amen?
Amen.
And sunshine. I had a whole foot of it at my house. Anyway, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your peace and your goodness and your grace and just for loving us. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. I'm going to dig right into this morning. this says I can go to 11:56 p.m. But I think that's probably not right. Or I'm not reading this right. I got the clock anyway. 12 hours, here we go. So I was writing down some notes this week, and I wanted to share them with you before I really got into, because they go with what I'm speaking about. When I preach, like I used to study, oh, God, give me something to share with people, and now I'm like, God, give me something. And then out of what he gives me, then I'm able to, he's like, share this, right? And because what I get, then I can share, right? And this is so deep. Some of the stuff God has for us is so simple that for some reason my brain gets in the way, right? And I'm like, logic says, no, that's too good to be true. No, God can't do it like that. We've got a certain way that God has to do something, and he has to do it. Like, look at Jesus. They said if you would have wrote down all the miracles that he did in his lifetime, it wouldn't even fit in this book. And so if we're just limiting God to what we can think, then what are we limiting ourselves with, right? He's so much bigger than us. But this book is so big, it's got so many dimensions, it goes on and on and on, just like God himself does. And so as I was studying this week, some of these things come up, and one of them is, there is no reality in the affairs of men and conditions. You're like, okay, Pastor James, come here. Listen to me. The scripture says, fear not, for I am thy God. Isaiah 41:10. Change the projection, and it will change the reflection. You know, I was sitting in my movie theater. I got a movie theater. It's really cool. Just kind of a little TV room with a projector. And you know, whatever comes through that projector gets reflected on the screen. And you know what's really cool? Is I got this thing called a channel changer. Or you probably call it a remote control or something like that. And if I don't like what's on that screen, do you know what I can do? I can click, I can turn it off, or I can change the channel till I find something that I do like. Right? And so I have that control in this world. How come I don't always have that control in my own brain, in my own head, in my own thoughts? What are you projecting into the world? What channel are you tuned into? Like, you can change the channel. Like I got what do you call that? That cube. Like, I stream all my stuff now because I can be more picky. I mostly watch YouTube now, right? You'd be surprised. There is nothing you cannot do on this planet right now. If you don't know how to do something, go to YouTube. Right? That's how I learned to preach. I'm not kidding, partly. Right? But you go to YouTube, right? And so I like YouTube, or if I want to watch a movie, I can be selective on what movie I want to watch because I can pick what movie I want to watch. I don't just have to take, like, I hate commercials. Do you know what I hate about commercials? Is because someone is projecting something to me, right? And I'm hearing something that's coming from them that I don't necessarily agree with. I don't have to, like, I don't want to hear about all this stuff. Like, 90% of the stuff's about pharmaceuticals or fast food, and neither one of them, like, I'm into, right? Maybe if you quit eating all the fast food, we wouldn't have to do all the pharmaceuticals, right? I mean, it's no wonder, right? And so, or donuts, and I'm trying to stay away from donuts. They're my nemesis and my best friend. Right? You guys hear what I'm saying? And so it gets projected, and what's projected comes into your ears, and then you're like, oh, well, there's a possibility. I wonder how that's... And then you start thinking about that, but when I can project what I want to project, then it reflects what I want reflected. Does that make sense? And so I want to guard my mind. I want to guard my thoughts. Just not any thought's going to get to come in. Now, if I get a thought I don't like, I've learned that I'm not my thoughts. So what do? I observe that thought. Whoa, that's an interesting thought. Now, why would I think that thought? How would that thought? I start asking questions, and pretty soon that thought disappears, and all I'm left with is me. Why? Because I'm not the thoughts. I can change that projection. And so this Bible's so clear on so much of this stuff. It's really neat how he does that, right? So there is no power in conditions. I am thy God. Stop fearing conditions. Conditions are not God. Your circumstances are subject to change. Do you hear what I'm saying? It doesn't matter if it's a bad health report. It doesn't matter if it's a financial report. It doesn't matter if it's a relationship report that you're getting. Whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to project what you just see right here? Or are you going to believe what God said about your circumstance? Whose report? I'm going to believe His report. But that's what makes us unique. We get free will. We get a choice. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And He says, I set before you life and death. And then He even gave us the answer to the test. He's like, here's the question. Do you want to choose life or death? Choose life. And He didn't even whisper it. He's like, choose life. And life is a person, and His name's Jesus. Do you guys hear what I'm saying? And when we get Him in our hearts and living through us, then we start thinking like Him, and then we start projecting the Father out there, right? And He starts reflecting in us, and you can see Him all around us. Does that make sense? And so I want to be a reflector of the Father, not a victim of conditions or circumstances. Right? So it says, I am my own cause and my own effect. Pastor James, you can't say that. Well, I'll show you how that's true in some people in the Bible, right? How are you thinking? What are you thinking about? Pastor James, why are you always talking about thinking? Because the Bible always talks about thinking. Our thinking is real critical. Even the word we get for repent, metanoia, is a shift in your thinking. A radical shift of your mind. It's changing your thinking. Why? Because your thinking is important. Do you know God even thinks thoughts? God thinks thoughts. God imagines. He said, let there be, and there was. Is this too serious? I sound like an old preacher now, right? Okay. Where am I at? Okay. What did I just say last? I am my own cause and my own effect, and I am my own, and I am my own cause and I am my own effect. The Son does not only do what He sees the Father do, the Son is a reflection of the Father. It's not things we need to change. It's our mind that needs to change. He's come in agreement with God. Do you know what we call that? Repent! Change your mind. World conditions have nothing to do with my prosperity, with my health, with anything. Right? Now watch this. Now it can affect, I'm not saying that it can affect it, right? But I allow that in a lot of ways. Sometimes bad things happen to you too, and it's not because of you, right? Don't get me on, I ain't saying that, right? You've got to come to realize that you are not subject to conditions, but conditions are subject to you. The scripture says, he that tills the land, the mind, shall have plenty of bread. And that's Proverbs 12:11. So I was at the grocery store, and I didn't want to go through self-checkout. Anybody ever go through self-checkout? I hate it. I'm like, I'm buying these groceries. Someone's going to check me out, even if I have to wait 15 minutes, right? I'm not going to get checked out, and I ain't going to bag my own groceries, right? Unless you want to give me a bigger discount, right? I don't work for you, right? So I'm in line. I get up to pay, and I pay for my stuff, and the cashier asks me. He's like, do you want a bag? And I was like, I'm sorry, what did you say? Do you want a bag? I said, no, I don't want a bag. If I wanted a bag, I'd have went through self-checkout, checked myself out, and bagged my own groceries. I don't want a bag. And they just looked at me like, what? He's like, no, do you want a bag? And I was like, no, if I wanted a bag, I would have checked myself out, and I would have paid for my own groceries myself too. I do not want to bag my own groceries. And then finally go, no, I'm not asking you if you want to bag your groceries. I'll bag your groceries. I'm asking you if you would like a bag. And I was like, why didn't you just say that? I mean, come on. It's not rocket science. Where I'm from, do you want to go fishing? Right? Do you want to go to the lake? Do you want to ride that horse? Do you want to, right? Do you want to means, do you want to do that? Like, I didn't want a bag. We were kind of saying the same thing, but it was kind of a lot different. One, you know what? One was something that I had to do. The other one was something that was given to me. Right? So much of the time we can look at the scriptures and we can look at the Bible, and one person looks at it and they say, do you want a bag? Like, here, you bag your own groceries. You earn your own salvation. You do this. The other one, God's like, do you want a bag? Because like, if you listen to like some of the college football players, they're like, yeah, we got a bag. We got some drip. Like, I know it. I was like, call a plumber. I didn't realize they were talking about their shoes, right? Come on. Like, it's same language, but different things, right? I got a bag. What does that mean? I got a lot of money, right? Do you want a bag? Yeah, I'll take that kind of bag, but I don't want to bag my own groceries when I just paid you for those groceries. Totally different. So here's the main question that I get from this. What starts with a W and ends with a T? You guys there? Anyone got one answer? What starts with a W and ends with a T?
Yes.
What? No. What starts with a W and ends with a T? I seen this question and I can't figure it out. I'm trying to get some help. I thought it was Walmart. Is it not?
Yeah.
It's not Walmart? It could be. See? You guys just think what? And I'm thinking Walmart. By the way, they make you check all your bags on your own now, pretty much, right? That's why I don't go to Walmart very often. No offense, Walmart. Right? Anyway, it's about what we think. Now watch this. I'm going to go into the scriptures. Pastor James, we're done with you. How does this have anything to do with us? I'm glad you asked. That's a great question. It says, Psalms, is it in Psalms 20? Nope. It's
Isaiah 20. I got it marked.
Okay, I'm in Psalms 19, and I'm going to start in verse 7. And it says this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple." Now, what is the law? The law here is not talking about the commandments. It's talking about the teachings, the Torah, the law, the five books of Moses, right? That's what he's talking about right here. It's the law, it's the way, it's the teachings of the Lord. We can learn a lot, not from the whole Torah, right? From Genesis all the way to Revelation. Technically, it's all Torah, right? But the first five books of the Bible, also known as the Pentateuch, right? Something like that. I can't speak Greek, but it sounds good. You guys are in trouble. I had too much coffee this morning. "The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous." What does the Lord mean? What does that name, Lord, mean right there? I am that I am. He's a great I am. He's saying, I am your righteousness. I am your holiness. I am your wisdom. I am everything that you will ever need, right? "They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." What's he saying about warned? He says, I said before you today, life or death. Choose life. He gives you a freedom. But he's like, hey, you don't have to pick this way. I do that with the horses all the time. I get in a round pen with them. And they start running from me. And I'm like, hey, dude, a lot easier in here with me. But if you want to keep running around, you keep running around. And when you get done, I'll still be right here. You can't outrun me. You can't get away. You're in this round pen. So the quickest way for you to get where you need to be is to decide that I'm your answer. When you come to me, right? Then you quit running in circles, and you quit trying to figure out, how am I going to get out of this? Oh my gosh, this is really bad. When all you have to do is come to the middle and hook up with the king. It's like, I'm the king, I'm the general when I'm in there. That's my planet. It's even round. Right? When they hook up and they submit, they find a real freedom that they never had before, because they're not just confined to that round pen, but now they can go wherever we want to go. And they find their real freedom in union and connection with the trainer, with the master. Pretty cool, huh? Yep. And that's where we find our freedom, right? And so it's pretty cool. "Who can discern his errors?" Who can discern his errors? Not God's errors, right? "Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression." And then it says this. I love this. It says, "May the words of my heart and the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Now listen to this again. May the words of what? My mouth. And the what?
Meditation
of my heart. Time out. Christians don't meditate. Right? That's some, Far East, right? No. Okay, so I'm going to go to Genesis 26. And it says this, Isaac planted crops in the, I'm in 26:12, by the way. "Isaac planted crops in the land, and the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy." Now watch this. "He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistine stopped up, filling them with earth. So here's Isaac, and he comes to this land. It's actually a land called Gerar. Now, I love Gerar because it was a city in the Negev, near the Negev desert, but it means to bring up the cud. Some of you guys, you know, around cowboys, they get it right away. Gerar means to bring up the cud. Now, what does that mean? Now, I eat a lot of beef. Like, and I'm doing kind of more of a lion's diet now than anything, because they're like, well, you can eat chicken. Well, I know what chickens eat. They eat worms, and they say you are what you eat, so I'm probably a worm. At least with a cow, I'm grass. Right? So I'm vegetarian secondhand one way or another, right? Pigs ain't even going there, right? Even though I love bacon, right? When I think about what pigs eat, it really bothers me, right? My grandpa used to say, I never had so much fun since the hogs ate my little brother. So what that means is hogs will eat anything, including you. A hog will eat you back. Right? So really, really don't want to eat those, right? So that leaves me with beef or lamb or something that's a ruminant, because when the cow eats it, they have four chambers to their stomach. Right? So that means they eat the grass. Oh, that's so good. And they're chewing it. That's so good. And they really enjoy it. A cow will take its time. Like a horse? Nope. They dig in. Cow? They'll take their time. Just, you know, eating. Then they'll chew. And they'll just chew on it. And then they'll swallow it. You're like, you know what? That was so good. I'm going to have to do it in my next stomach. So they'll, back up into their mouth. And you know what they do then? They chew on it. Like, oh, that's really good. That's really good. That's really good. I'm blessed when I come in. I'm blessed when I go out. That's really good. I'm going to swallow that. Oh, wait, I'm not done thinking on that. I'm the head, not the tail. Right? Chewing on it. And then it goes into a second stomach. That's not good enough for a cow. They're show-offs. Like, they can't even double us. They want to do four times. Right? So what do? They chew on it again. They chew on it, and up it comes. Or swallow it, and up it comes in the fourth time. Then find that, like, yeah, that's good enough. Right? So it doesn't matter. Like, a lot of people are really into grass-fed beef, but there's not a huge difference in whether you're eating grass-fed beef or grain-fed beef, because actually what happens is they go through that rumination process, it all gets cleaned out. Now, there is, grass-fed is a little better because you don't have all the stuff, but there's not, like ranchers and scientists are saying, that there's not a big enough difference in it that you should worry about it, right? And so, as they ruminate, as they chew the cud, it's called rumination, right? As it, even after they chew it, and it gets all that saliva on it. Isn't this great? Are you guys hungry yet? Right? All this saliva on it. Swallow it. And then it's got all these digestive enzymes. Then it comes up, and then more saliva. And then it's, at least there's not snot. Some, maybe if they blew their nose backwards, right? Okay, I'm going to keep going. Guys, are you guys getting the picture?
Yes. Gerar.
Right? Gerar. It's rumination. It's how are you thinking and what are you thinking about? A lot of us ruminate. Right? That's what thinking is. We're meditating. We're thinking. Does something ever really bother you? And like you can't get it out of your mind for 3 weeks? Like you're driving down the road and that's all you're thinking about. You're doing this thing and that's all you're thinking about. Maybe you're worried about it, or maybe you're excited about it. It doesn't matter. But there's things that we just think about. And the more we think about it, the more we end up going towards that. Why? Because that's how God created us. It's like when you get in your car and you say, I want to go to Seattle, but all you can think about is Vancouver. pretty soon, your car's going to be turned around and go into Vancouver. Right? When I was at the finals, I broke my collarbone and I was all doped up, but I was like, not doped up. They gave me like ibuprofen and Tylenol, but I hurt so bad. I'm in my Mini Cooper and I'm driving from Las Vegas and I'm going to come home. And so I was talking to my dad on the phone and I just left Nevada. He's like, where are you going? I was like, I'm going into Utah. And when I get to Utah, then I'm going to go up and go through Idaho and then Oregon and then up into Washington. He's like, okay. He's like, that sounds like a good plan. He's like, well, where are you at now? And I said, well, I just passed a sign that said Arizona. And my dad said, hey, son, I don't know what kind of pills they got you on, but Washington is the other way. So do you know what I did? I pulled over, and I looked on the GPS and realized that there is a part of that highway that goes through the corner of Arizona, right? So I was on the right path, but I thought for a minute, I've totally gone the wrong way. I'm going to be in Mexico, not Washington. Right? So sometimes we think, you know what? I'm going the right way. I'm going here. Sometimes it may not look at it. It may be a condition, but it's just part of that journey on the road, too. You guys hear what I'm talking about? Now listen. So now we get to rumination. And I love this. I wrote this down in my Bible because it's so good. We need to understand this. Rumination is a very picture of scriptural meditation, of pondering and speaking out over and over what God has said until those words become a part of the ruminant, we're the ruminant's heart, and are incorporated into our very life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like you feel like I'm a rotten sinner. No, you're not. You're a son of the Most High God. And then what do? Think on that. Put that thought in your mind. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Don't even think about it. Just say it. You can't. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am. Well, how? Well, I am because of him. Like, well, and then you ponder on that and you think about that. Why am I that? Because God's word says that. And that's the truth. So that's what I'm going to think about. Right? There's no other way. There's no other gospel except through Jesus. I am righteous, not because of what I do, but because of what he done. So now I'm ruminating. I'm chewing the cud. I'm thinking about it. I'm like, oh, that's so good. And I swallow it. Like, well, you done with that one. Then I think on it again. I say, I am. Because what happens is you chew on it and it drops down into your heart. Do you know what happens? You start to believe it. When you start to believe it, it starts coming out of your mouth. And you start agreeing, not just with your heart, but with your mouth, that's what God said. And now you're starting to see some fruit from it. And it's starting to reflect in your life to others what you're projecting from your heart. Does that make sense? What a man thinks in his heart, so is he, right? Okay, so where was I at? I was at in Isaiah. Is anybody even close to following me? Because I'm lost. Okay, he had many flocks. I'm in Genesis 26:14. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. Then, what did he fill them with? I think it's kind of with the earth, with the things of this world. Now watch this. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, move away from us. You have become way too powerful for us. So Isaac moved away from there, a little closer from Gerar, and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. How come it keeps bringing up rumination? You think maybe it's important? So here he is, and they actually played a song for him. I think I got it right here. So here he is.
Listen to the story about a man named Jed, who not near barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up to the ground come a bumbling crew. Oh, that is.
You know, that's about Isaac, is
Texas
it?
Tea.
First thing you know, old Jeb's a millionaire. The kinfolk said, Jeb, move away from there. Said, California is the place you ought to be. So
they got the place wrong and the name wrong. It was Isaac. And it was the Valley of Gerar. But they're like, you know what? You're too rich for us now. Like, they went up, they saw his mansion on the hill and his Rolls Royces and Lamborghinis. He even had a GT500 Ford and a Shelby. Like God was blessing him so much that it scared him. Like, dude, you got too much stuff, so you got to move away from here. So they got their pickup truck out, put all their digging stuff in, and headed down the road, right? So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the Valley of Gerar and settled there. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, and the Philistines had stopped them up. Again, it's talking about how they had been stopped up after Abraham died and gave them the same names his father had given them. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen and said, "The water is ours." Dude, you think, like, he's not catching a break. God actually told him not to go down to Egypt and go here to Abimelech, right? Which Abimelech means son of the king, or my father is the king, right? So here he's camped in the land where the father is the king, and he's having all these troubles and everything. He's digging a well, and then they're telling him, hey, you have too much stuff, you got to move. And then he digs a well, and the herdsman of Gerar, or the rumination, or chewing the cud, is quarreling with the herdsman of Laughter. Do you know what was happening? Something was happening with his rumination process that was quarreling with Laughter, because it wasn't becoming Laughter, it was renamed. They renamed it the waters are, so he renamed the well Essek. Now, what does Essek mean? It means strife. It was the well of contention. So it went from Isaac's well, Laughter's well, to a well that was striving, and it was contending, and it was trying to get ahead. And so Isaac's like, you know what? It's okay. You can have that. I don't want strife. I don't want contention. I'll forgive you. I'll give that to you, and I'll move on. And then watch what happens. It worked out perfect after this, because everything, like the bunnies come out and started dancing around in their Disney dress like a princess, and their whole world was better, right? No. It says, then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one. And also, that one also. So he named it Sitna. Sitna. He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. Now, first one we had was Essek, and what does Essek mean? It means strife. It means contention. It was strife. It was contention. Isaac said, I ain't living in strife, and I ain't living in contention. You can have that. I'm going to move on. And then he comes to another well, and they've done it to him again. So at this point, wouldn't you be getting a little angry? Getting a little mad, getting a little resentful. So do you know what they named that well? Hatred. So now he could have stayed and fought in strife. He could have stayed and lived in hatred and drank the water of hatred. But the Bible says that Isaac, he picked up again and moved. He said, you know what? I refuse to live in strife and condition and contention and in hatred. If this is what you want, you can have it. How much wisdom is in that? How many of us? I'll fight over a bone, man, if I think I'm right. Like, I'm stubborn. Like, ask anybody, right? Pastor Wayne says I have the spiritual gift of confrontation. Like, if something bothers me, Like, I'm not confrontive. I'm just like, hey, I don't like that. Like, I just tell you, because I think that's a lot better in a lot of ways than because what happens is if you don't, you get to striving, and then you get into hating on somebody rather than just telling them straight up front, hey, no, that don't work for me. Right? But we can take that strife. We can take those hurts. We can take that, turn it into hatred, and we can keep drinking from that well. And it's going to be just like in that round pen where we're going round and round and round. Now watch this. But he dug another well. He moved on. He says, I'm going to give that to you. I'm going to forgive you. He's like, I don't even care anymore. I'm not going to strive over nothing. God's got more wells. God's bigger than you, bigger than this. If you think you need it that bad, here, you can have it. And watch what God did. And he dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. You know why? Because he got rid of the contention. He got rid of the hatred. He says, I refuse to live in that. And he came to another well, and it was Rehoboth. And saying, now the Lord has given us room and we will flourish in the land. No, he's saying, finally, I got plenty of room. In fact, Rehoboth is the well of enlargement, the well of prosperity. He gave up, he forgave the well of contention and striving and the well of his hatred. He forgave and God enlarged him with prosperity, with an openness that is unlimited. Amen. You know what, though? I was like, man, those Philistines are rotten suckers, man. I really wouldn't want to live with them. And then the Holy Spirit said, wait, but did you read the first of the story? Oh, man, we're going to go there? Now watch this. Let's go back in 26 to verse 1. Now there was a famine in the land besides the earlier famine of Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines of Gerar, in Gerar. And the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you, and will bless you. Whoa, what a promise. Right? God's with me. He will bless me. For to you and your descendants, I will give all these lands and I will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all the nations on the earth will be blessed because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commands, my decrees, and my laws. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. Now, if you know the story of Abraham, which you guys are going through right now, you understand Abraham was not perfect. He was perfect for what God called him to do, but he was not perfect. He gave his wife away twice, man. You think, well, that won't affect the next generation. Oh. Well, watch this. When the men of that place asked him about his wife, he said, she's my sister. They're like, hey, Abraham, wow, your wife, she's hot. Oh, that's not my wife, that's my sister. What in the world? What's the matter with that dude? Well, where did he hear a story of that real similar before? From Abraham. That was one of Abraham's wells that Abraham had dug. And now his son's drinking from it. Now watch this. So she is my sister because he was afraid to say she is my wife. Number one, he was afraid. She is my wife. He thought. Watch this. He what? He thought the men of this place might kill me on account of Rebekah because she is beautiful. Anybody remember in the Garden of Eden? What started this whole mess? Hath God said. And then the thought. Oh, what if there's a fear? It's fear and unbelief. Not believing what God had said. Because God already said, I'll be with you. No matter what. And then he lies to these dudes. And God still blessed him in it. Watch this. The men of this place might kill me on account of Rebekah because she is beautiful. When Isaac had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down from a window and saw Isaac caressing his wife Rebekah. So Abimelech summoned Isaac and said, "She is really your wife. Why did you say she is my sister?" And Isaac answered him, "Because I thought I might lose my life on account of her." I what? I thought. Now watch this. Then Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the men might well have slept with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us." So Abimelech gave orders to all the people, "Anyone who molests this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." And then it says, Isaac planted crops and digging a well. And the first well comes up with contention. You know what happened? A lot of us are thinking. Are you operating out of fear? Are you operating out of unbelief? Oh my gosh, what if the economy crashes? Oh my God, what if this happens or that happens? And then your imagination starts running away. Am I the only one that ever has done that? And you start panicking. You're not paying attention where you're driving. You end up in Arizona and not Washington. And not on the right part of Arizona. What are you thinking about? Because it's really important. It's your mind. It's your yetzer, where you conceive or imagine, or your imagination to form or to frame for a purpose. Just like you can allow the world and fear to frame where you're going, or you can allow what God's promises and God's word says. What are you going to project? It's your choice. Romans 12:2 says this: "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what?" Now, what starts with a W and ends with a T? Yes. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Just thank you for being with us and for loving us and giving us your wisdom and allowing us not to drink from the wells of strife and contention or hatred, but to or operate in fear, but to operate in unbelief, but operate in your righteousness and your faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.